Along with Sean Steyers, I'm Darren Pritchett. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday here on 96.1 WSBT and live on the SportsBeat app, one of the great places to gather all the information and analysis on Notre Dame sports and specifics. Notre Dame football is irishbreakdown.com, a Sports Illustrated venture. The publisher is Brian Driscoll, and he joins us right now on WSBT Radio. Brian, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thank you so much. So, Phil Jurkovec can play for Boston College after granting a waiver from the NCAA. So, the old Notre Dame quarterback, if he wins the starting job at Boston College, and it sounds like there's a pretty good chance of that, would face Notre Dame this fall if there is college football, and we don't know the date of that matchup as of yet. Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about Jurkovec and throwing motions and fans wanting him to start over Ian Book after the Michigan game last year. So Jurkovec is a household name in Notre Dame houses around the world. So I'm just wondering from your standpoint, and I honestly have to admit, I don't have a good feel for the talent pool at Boston College right now. But if Jurkovec is the starting quarterback, do you believe he would have a realistic chance to have a good first season if he is, in fact, the starting quarterback at Boston College?
I think he has a chance to have a good first season. I don't expect him to be a guy that's going to light the world on fire. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, he really hasn't played much football in the last 2 years. Number two is they missed out on spring ball, which I think would have really helped him, really adjust to that system. And it's going to be the first year in a new system for everybody. So it's not like if he was stepping into a situation where it was a bunch of established players in an established system, they could help bring him along. You don't have that this year. So I think you're going to see some growing pains for everybody, and I think you're especially going to see those from him. But I think what you need to look for as a Boston College fan is, do you see those flashes of what he was in high school, the playmaking ability, and get how pretty it is or not, but is he able to make plays? Is he able to lead the offense down into the end zone? Those are going to be the keys, and I think he'll show enough of that to where when you head into 2021, there's going to be a lot of excitement about what he can do.
Brian, when you look at, you know, this case, Jurkovec gets the eligibility waiver granted so he can play right away. Do you think that in the circumstances that we're all in right now, the NCAA should just grant anyone who transferred a waiver for this year, you know, regardless of sport, and say, okay, you can play if you want to, you make the choice because of everything that everyone's going to have to deal with this year?
Sean, you know my stance on the one-time transfer rule. I hate it.
And I do, too. I do, too.
But I I'd be sympathetic to hearing the argument from players and anyone that represents players. This has been a situation for my family. My mom's out of a job. This is going on. And I want to go back and play closer to home. So I do think there's some merit to that. But, of course, my fear as always is, coaches are going to take advantage of that, and they're going to call X player and say, hey, you know, one of my studs just is opting out for the year, you know, come transfer down and play for us and use this as your excuse. And that's the sad part about all this is we know it would be taken advantage of, but I would be understanding of them making that rule. My bigger fear would be you make this one-time rule, and then are they really going to be able to pull back on that? Unring that bell, that would be a bigger concern. So what I would say is just be more lax with the waiver process. That's what I would say to do. Be more understanding of the waiver process. And if it has an even remotely legitimate situation, then just grant it.
Brian Driscoll, publisher of irishbreakdown.com, joining us here on WSBT Radio. Brian, I'm not sure where you're standing, but you sound a little bit like R2-D2 a couple of times. There's a little breaking up there, so I'm not sure if you're standing next to something electronic, but I just want to mention that to you.
Bing.
That's right.
I will now move into the kitchen.
Okay. Not near the microwave if it's running. Can I just ask one more Jurkovec question? You used to be a quarterback coach. If you're the BC quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, head coach, do you change his motion?
I would let him. I would want to get back to what he's comfortable with. I think that was the problem. He had a high school coach who started tinkering. Not his high school coach, but a person that works with high school players started tinkering with it. Then you had Notre Dame I hate people that mess with throwing motions unless it's creating problems. Phil Jurkovec's previous throwing motion in high school did not create problems. It just looked weird. So people mess with it. And I think that's bad coaching. It's what we talked about a few weeks. There's a lot of people working with quarterbacks who aren't qualified to work with quarterbacks. But it's a moneymaker now. So I would just say, hey, let's find something that you're comfortable with and that you can then go execute effectively. And I think the fact that, you know, Coach Cignetti, who is going to be the quarterback's coach there, is a Pittsburgh guy as well. So I think there's going to be a trust there, a familiarity there.
Okay.
That's going to allow them to work together and come up with a solution that gets him back on track.
Phillip Rivers doesn't look beautiful. It's worked for
exactly.
him.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
It's all about the end result, right? I mean, I've seen Mark Sanchez, I thought, had a tremendous throwing motion or release, but he was just never an overly accurate player, right? And then there's Phillip Rivers, who's incredibly accurate with a funky motion. What matters is that it gets there, right? It's kind of like pitchers.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you go from Dan Quisenberry all the way to, you know, traditional-looking pitchers. Does it get there? Can you throw it quickly? Can you be accurate with it? Can you throw it in rhythm? Can you throw it off your mark? I mean, there's all types of ways to evaluate it. What matters is, does it get there? And can they catch it? And, you know, I just think there's too many people that get caught up you have to throw it like Steve Spurrier caught it, or you have to do this. You have to get the ball there. That's what I care about. Get it there, get it on time, and make it be accurate.
Brian, we got some of the predictable Notre Dame needs to be in a conference full-time stuff last week after the ACC announcement. I guess my question for you, do you think anything that happens this season means anything to that kind of decision for Notre Dame?
Oh, you know, I think so. I think it could certainly factor into it. Do I think anything could happen this year that's going to force Notre Dame to make a decision that they weren't otherwise comfortable with? No. Do I think if Notre Dame goes in the ACC and wins the league and goes to the college football playoff that there might be some incentive to say, hey, you know what, maybe this might work for us, especially when they look at the dollars and cents that they're making? You know, I think there could be – I think if Notre Dame really wanted to be in a conference, I think what they should do with the ACC is to say, listen, we'll join you guys on one condition. And that condition is, like, now we keep our NBC contract.
Yes.
All our home games are going to be on NBC. But in number two, no more than 8 conference games. For the next 10 years, you guarantee us there will be no more than 8 conference games. Because what that would do is that would allow Notre Dame to still have maybe in USC plus 2 other non-conference games where they could even keep Stanford and then work in a Wake for, you know, a Western Michigan or a Bowling mm-hmm. Green to kind of soften that schedule. You go 9 conference games and you keep USC and Navy, you have no flexibility with that 12th game. You know, so do you keep playing Stanford or do you want to mix it up? I mean, I just don't think that would work for Notre Dame. So I think Notre Dame is going to think about this, and I think this is going to be a good trial run, and I think how the season goes could make them maybe start leaning in a direction they were already thinking about. But I don't see it being something that just says, oh, wow, we were thinking no conference, but now let's do it. You know, I just don't think it's going to be like that.
Brian,
a few days ago. Follow-up, because
– yeah.
You talked about keeping the NBC contract. Are you saying they also keep the full share of that, unlike splitting
the way they're doing this year? Look, the reality is Notre Dame, this is what's so funny. Vince and I talked about this on our podcast on Monday. What's hilarious about all these people saying Notre Dame shouldn't be able to keep their money, Notre Dame is benefiting by putting their money into the pool. They made $15 million.
Right. They're actually making more.
Most. Right. They made $7.9 off of the ACC. That's $22.9. The rest of the league makes 29.5. It benefits Notre Dame to pull that. What I'm more referring to is their home games would be on it. Notre Dame would negotiate that, and then that would be part of the ACC's overall deal. I don't even know if that's workable. ESPN may not want to go for that. I don't know about all that, but that's something I would try to do. But it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me. But I do think there needs to be some kind of marquee nature to Notre Dame home games where they're not getting put on a bunch of, you know, ACC network games.
The publisher of IrishBreakdown.com is Brian Driscoll. He joins us on WSBT Radio. A couple of days ago, Pac-12 players, a few of them got together, put together a little proposal, some demands for the Pac-12, or if they don't get some of their demands taken care of, they would opt out of the football season. The hashtag WeAreUnited. We saw everything from a 50% split in revenue amongst the schools and players to wanting more security in healthcare 6 years after they leave college. They want to be taken care of. Some of this, I think, is fair. Others, parts of this is pretty unrealistic. The bottom line is this, Brian. Do you believe what these players are trying to do will at all affect the start of the college football season?
I don't think so. Maybe that's wishful thinking. I hope not, because, you know, look, you have to be careful, because we've seen baseball did this. You know, when baseball canceled the World Series back in 94, I don't think they've ever recovered. I really don't. I don't think baseball's ever recovered from crossing that line over dollars and cents. I think there's a lot of legitimate things in here, and I think what this group of players needs to do is they need to somehow, some way, get a commitment to addressing these issues over whatever period of time. You're not going to get revenue. You're not going to get a 50% thing between now and the beginning of the season. Not only that, it's not even legal to discuss. I mean, there's so much absurdity with that aspect of it, but there are a lot of things in there that I think need to be discussed. I've brought up in the past at Irish Breakdown that, you know, we talk about paying players in the name and likeness. What I wanted to propose for years is, if you're selling jerseys of players, why isn't each school mandated to take X number of dollars or percentage from those jersey sales and put it towards every student athlete's medical cost for 5 years after college, unless they go to the NFL, because then they have their own situation. But any player that doesn't go to the NFL, we will cover your medical costs for 5 years. I believe there's a lot of merit to that, because once these kids are done playing, they don't get the help from the university in most instances, but the bills are still there and the injuries don't just go away because you're not playing football at Notre Dame anymore. And so I do think there's things we can help these young people at, because a lot of fans look at these guys, well, they get to go to the NFL. Over 90% of these kids will never play a down in the NFL, and a chunk of the small that do won't ever make enough money for it to be life-changing. So I do think there's things that the NCAA can and should do financially to make life better for these young people that doesn't involve giving them a salary.
Brian, I don't think we got a chance to talk to you. If I remember right, last week it was the day after we had you on that the ACC did make the announcement regarding their schedule and everything. So I guess from Notre Dame's perspective, after Clemson, is there a team that Notre Dame is going to play that you really expect to be a challenge for the Irish this season, a real challenge for the Irish?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's four teams, really, that to me could present a challenge to Notre Dame. And it's a different kind of challenge. I think, look, there's no one on the schedule after Clemson that has the roster that Notre Dame has. So there's no team you say, Notre Dame, I can understand them losing that game. But there are teams that I think will be tough matchups. I think North Carolina at North Carolina is going to be a really tough matchup because they can score. And if you look at their six losses last year, not one of them was by more than a touchdown. They were in every game they played last year and almost beat Clemson. And they bring everybody back. I think they have something like 18, 19 starters back and a great coach and a great staff. That's not going to be an easy game. Louisville at home, not going to be an easy game. That's an extremely talented football team with excellent young coaching staff. I think that's going to be a challenge. Pitt is a team that nobody's talking about, and they should. Pitt is going to have an excellent defense coming back, and they're going to be in year two of Mark Whipple's offense, and I think that's a challenging team, and it's on the road. And outside of the 2015 season, Pitt's given Notre Dame a lot of problems with teams that aren't as good as the one that they're going to have in 2020. And of course, Florida State. Like, look, Florida State could go 5-7 this year. They could go 10-1. I mean, they have the talent to do that. It's just we don't know what kind of an impact Mike Norvell is going to have in his first year, but that's probably the second or third best roster that Notre Dame is going to face this year. We just don't know how quick they're going to be able to adapt to the new coaching staff.
Okay, Brian, here's my final question, and this is the final time you'll be asked this, but you know where I'm going to go. Offensive lineman Rocco Spindler announces on Saturday you have been Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Notre Dame. Every time we've asked you, I'm assuming we're this close to the announcement of where he's going to play his college football that you're sticking with the prediction you've had for quite some time.
Well, you know, they say you shouldn't assume things, but in this case, you were correct in doing so. Yes, I have not changed my view. I feel good about it. I think barring him changing his mind between now and then, I do think it's going to be Notre Dame. But I would encourage fans to make sure you stay locked into IrishBreakdown.com. We had an update on another 2021 player that things are trending in the right direction in, and I can see Notre Dame having a very good next couple weeks on the recruiting trail that doesn't involve only Rocco Spindler. But I feel really good about Notre Dame's direction there with Rocco Spindler.
All right. Very interesting. Well, I guess final one then for you. It was a big commitment week last week, speaking of recruiting, and I think the guy that came at the tail end of the week was Mitchell Evans, the tight end. What are your thoughts about him?
solid player. You know, I don't quite understand. There's two ways to look at that one, Sean. One is from a need standpoint, I just didn't see the need. I didn't think they needed another tight end unless that guy was significantly better than guys they already had. But John McNulty really likes this kid, and I have a lot of early faith in John McNulty based on his background and some things that I'm hearing and seeing him do. And, you know, look, 6'7", 240, and he's a quality athlete. Pitt was looking at him to play quarterback. So I think they see a high upside kid that has a chance to maybe be a Troy Nicholas kind of guy. Because I probably would have said, why are you taking Troy Nicholas too? If, you know, based on what he was in high school, and he turned out pretty good. So I think they see a big-bodied kid with some athleticism and a lot of raw tools that they want to work with. Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense from a number standpoint, but I like the idea of if you find a talented football player, let's make it work. That's what I've been saying Notre Dame should do. So I like the fact that John McNulty came in and did that. And Mike Mickens did the same thing because Notre Dame did not need a third corner. But Chance Tucker for them was too good to pass up. And I kind of like that aggressiveness from the two new coaches.
Okay, Brian, tell our listeners things to watch for at irishbreakdown.com.
Well, obviously, now that the schedule is set up, we're going to have a lot of analysis of the ACC. I recently broke down, ranked the 10 best opponents in the ACC, 1 to 10. A lot of recruiting news coming up here over this next week and continued analysis of Notre Dame as we start feeling more and more confident the 2020 season is going to happen. We're going to really ramp up our production of really breaking down the schedule. And because, mainly, guys, we actually have a schedule to talk about now. So it's a wonderful thing to do.
No question about that. He is Brian Driscoll, the publisher of IrishBreakdown.com. Always appreciate the conversation, Brian. Thank you so much. And we will talk about the Irish getting Rocco Spindler next Tuesday at 6:07. Sound like a plan?
Sounds good to me, guys. Sounds good
All right,
to me.
Take
Thanks
care.
For having me on.
You bet. Brian Driscoll, publisher, IrishBreakdown.com.